Welcome to the DMD edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the Duchenne muscular dystrophy community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, senior correspondent with Rare Disease Advisor at the Cure Duchenne 2022 Futures Conference in Orlando, Florida. We're talking with Jennifer Wallace Valdez, director of the physical therapy program at Duchenne and the owner of the Duchenne Therapy Network. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the role of physical therapy for neuromuscular patients, specifically those with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Why is it important?
It's important because it's one of the few treatments that's lifelong for people with Duchenne, and it can help them manage a lot of the impairments or symptoms related to Duchenne's weakness and tightness.
How many parents of Duchenne boys actually engage their sons in physical therapy?
I don't know a national number, but many do. Once they learn about it, then most will follow through and see the importance in it.
So we're not just talking about stretching, right? It encompasses a whole range of physical activity. Can you talk briefly about that?
Yeah, stretching is definitely one of the paramount things that we do, but it's definitely not the only thing. A lot of what we do is help them modify activities to make them safer for someone with Duchenne and also safer for their muscles. So less muscle damage, those types of things.
Can you give an example of making something safer?
Yeah, so we can modify their daily routine so that they're not doing a lot of stairs or running up and down hills during playtime, incorporating more rest breaks and more appropriate activities that they should be doing instead of playing tag on that nice grassy hill.
What age does physical therapy start for Duchenne boys?
At diagnosis. And sometimes before diagnosis. A lot of kids who are showing developmental delay or difficulty with walking are referred to physical therapy even before the diagnosis is known. But definitely as soon as diagnosis is made, they should start physical therapy.
So even as early as maybe 3 years old?
Absolutely.
And how intense is this therapy? How often is it? How many hours? How many times a week?
It actually shouldn't feel intense. Physical therapy at times can be pretty frequent. You can be seen a couple times a week if there's a reason for it, such as something's changed in their condition, they've gotten worse for some reason, or there's some unidentified problem, we'll increase the frequency of physical therapy to once a week or a couple times a week. But once things are under control, it could really back off and be more of a consultative model where you check in with them, find if there's any new issues, teach the family what to do, and then the family really is in charge of managing a lot of the at-home therapy that we teach them.
And how many hours are we talking about per session? Is it like 1 hour, half an hour?
Oh, 1 hour at the most per session.
At the most.
Typically, unless they're recovering from something like a femur fracture or something like that.
And how frequently? Once a week?
Only
generally?
If needed. Yeah, once a week could be what they need if they're overcoming something new or something different. But on a lifespan,
yes.
It doesn't have to be that frequent.
It doesn't. You mentioned that you're the owner of the Duchenne Therapy Network. Mm-hmm. What is that?
It's a private practice physical therapy business in Southern California, in the Los Angeles area. And it's physical therapy for people who have Duchenne and Becker muscular dystrophy.
So network assumes that there's more than one location.
It sort of is. Different counties in the same area.
So all in the LA, okay, in the LA metro.
LA, Orange County, Inland Empire.
Got it. Question, is your work exclusively with Cure Duchenne, or do you work with other organizations such as the Muscular Dystrophy Association and other neuromuscular disease groups?
I've worked mostly with Cure Duchenne. I have a very close relationship with them since the beginning. But I have done conference presentations at MDA, at PPMD, and at some other organizations as well.
And are all these organizations, do they have similar approaches to the role of physical therapy?
I think for the most part, we all agree what should and shouldn't be done. We have a little bit different take on it, but for the most part, we're all on the same page.
What about excessive exercise? I know that's a concern of people who do too much.
Yeah, with Duchenne, you do have to be careful with excessive activity or exercise. And exercise in general, under the typical way it's thought of, can be actually very damaging to somebody with Duchenne.
Now, we also spoke with Dr. Maman about female carriers. And he talked briefly about exercise for women who are carriers. Do you address that?
I only address it in the fact that I like to keep up on what's going on in the world of it, but my patients aren't the female carriers. And I do know that they can also be susceptible to muscular or cardiac damage with excessive exercise from what I know.
Now, once a boy, I guess maybe a young teen, is confined to a wheelchair, Can they still do physical therapy?
Absolutely. Like I said, physical therapy isn't just to keep, you know, them stretched out so they can keep walking. Once you've stopped walking, the demand for needing physical therapy and occupational therapy is actually increased, because now their world has become all about what technology they need, what equipment needs to be fitted correctly, and they need to be taught how to use it and how to approach their entire life and their environment in this new situation that they're in.
So how do you do physical therapy in a wheelchair?
Well, the actual hands-on physical therapy, we can do some of it in the chair, especially if their chair will recline and tilt back and put them in different positions that we can help them. But they can come out of the chair during therapy. They can lay on a mat table or a massage table and do their therapy with us. No problem.
So, yeah, massage is a part of the therapy, right?
Whatever it is that relieves tension in the muscle and helps them reduce the fibrosis that they have in the musculature. It can be stretching. It can be massage. It can be splinting or positioning.
And what age range do you treat? How old is your oldest patient?
I think my oldest patient at this time that I follow consultatively is in his 40s, early 40s. And
with Duchenne?
Oh, yeah.
So people are living that long now with Duchenne, not with Becker.
Absolutely. With Duchenne. They have significant impairments and need a lot of different types of care and assistive devices, but absolutely.
And how long have you been in this business?
For 20 years.
And so you gave therapy to Hawken?
Yes. Right. So because Deborah, the founder of CureDuchenne, tells a story, I will too. Hawken Miller was my very first patient out of PT school. So as a licensed physical therapist, he was my first patient on my first day of work. And it changed the entire career that I had ahead of me.
First patient on the first day of work?
Yes. And he was undiagnosed at the time. So he did not have a diagnosis of Duchenne at that time.
So how did it come that you gave physical therapy to him?
He came in with a diagnosis of idiopathic toe walking, which means that he was walking on his toes and nobody knew why.
How old was he at the time?
He was almost 5 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I saw him and I did some of the typical pediatric physical therapy tests on him. And I saw him do some interesting things. He had large calves. He walked on his toes. He got up off the floor in that funny way that we know is called Gower.
Right.
And things that added up.
Did you know that he had Duchenne at the time?
I thought about it. You know, you never know for sure until the blood tests come back.
Right.
And so when they came to me the next visit, I asked them to get a second opinion because they had seen neurologists. They had seen doctors. And they got a second opinion and quickly after that got the correct diagnosis.
So you've been in this business longer than CureDuchenne has been in business.
Yes. Yeah. They founded about a year later. I can remember the day that Deborah asked me, what do you think about the name CureDuchenne for a nonprofit? I can remember. I thought, that's a great name. Uh-huh. Let's do it.
And it's on your t-shirt.
And it's now on my t-shirt.
Good for you. Thank you very much. Nice talking to you. This is good. Appreciate it.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.